chapter, or the seventh lesson in the book of Biblical Hermeneutics. Biblical hermeneutics means the science of interpretation of Scripture. We're studying a little book here called Principle of Biblical Hermeneutics by Hartel. And we're on page number 10, at the bottom of the page. We're talking about the church and the message to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ministry of Christ covers his life, death, burial, and resurrection. The church was called out during his ministry. The church accompanied him all the way to the cross. The church was scattered, as it said, that the sheep would be scattered if the shepherd is smitten. They did not believe. The Jews had a lot of problems. They heard Jesus say that if he would be buried and killed, that he would rise again on the third day. They even went to Pontius Pilate and demanded that he give them a guard at the tomb so that his disciples would not say that he had risen from the dead. Pontius Pilate said, "You have the temple guard, your own Herodian soldiers, go do the best you can. Leave me alone." Now, the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. Right now we're teaching the book of Acts from Greek also. We've done two classes of that. And that is a fantastic study of church history, the history of early churches. Now, the letters that are written, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are four Gospels. Then you have the book of Acts, which is church history. And all the kinds of problems that the church would have during that first 70 years or so. We have the evolution of theology. We have problematic things. Let's go to the book of Romans now. Romans teaches justification by faith, saved by faith plus nothing. Romans, the third chapter, in verse number 19, it says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin and death. But apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All have gone astray, hamartia. They've gone out of the way. "And all have missed the mark, astokio." I know that your lexicons and things might say that hamartio means to miss the mark. It does not. It's astokio that means to miss the mark. Even Mr. Thayer made that mistake. Tatha in the Hebrew language means to miss the mark. And the equivalent to that in the New Testament is astokio for you teachers and Bible students out there. I thought I might throw that in. "For all have gone astray." All, amaitrio. "For all have gone off of the beaten path of righteousness and have missed the mark of the glory of God." Being justified as a gift by His grace. Being justified is a gift by the grace of God. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a hilasmos, a kafar, for a propitiation, for the atonement in His blood through Him, and through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, the patience of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. By the way, that faith comes from God. It doesn't muster up in your own little body. It's not something you muster up. Not something you learn at church and apply it to your life. It is a gift of God. Repentance is a gift, and faith is a gift of God. For when there is boasting, it is excluded by what kind of law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is it God, the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, the Gentiles also. Since indeed God will justify the circumcised by faith, and the uncircumcised by faith is one. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. Abraham was justified by faith, the book of Romans says. The book of Corinthians. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, we find church behavior. In 1 Corinthians, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, encourages that church to practice that which has been handed down to them. To practice by faith an example. He tells the church at Corinth how to observe the Lord's Supper. The morality of the church. He talks about church discipline. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about forgiveness. In 1 Corinthians, he even reminded them what the gospel was. You go to a church and ask them what the gospel is. See what they say. Oh, the Bible. The gospel is 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, the most important thing. Brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand. There are many preachers out there today that are preaching good news to your spirit. How to be happy. How that you can overcome all things and you can become extremely successful. But they do not mention the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A message always should have in that message. Every message should hide the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel which I preach to you, and which also you receive, in which you also stand, by which you also are saved. If you really believe, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, did you just come because it was a good place to go? Did you just get baptized because other people were baptized? Or did you really believe what I'm about to tell you? For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Prophecy in the Old Testament. And that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and also appeared to Cephas, Peter, and to the 12, and that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. We're not talking about soul sleeping either. Their bodies died. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one aborted, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me did not prove in vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet I, not I, but the grace of God with me. The book of Galatians. We have a problem there with the Jewish Christians. We had a problem with the Jewish Christians because they wanted to go back to the law. The book of Galatians tells us that the law didn't justify anybody. And Galatians, the fourth chapter, which is one of the most outstanding verses in the Bible. And verse number four, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We, Othesia, placing as a son and an heir. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Daddy, Daddy. Therefore, you're no longer slaves of the law, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. However, at that time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. Paganism. Every time I see this, I think of Catholicism. Every time I see it. The Catholics are slaves to those idols and praying to Mary, when they could pray to God in the name of Jesus and have forever forgiveness of sins. It's a sad situation. The fifth chapter says that we should walk by the Spirit. God tells us that when you're born again, that your life changes. The book of Ephesians, even though the book of Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, is not there, this is a general or a universal letter to all the churches. For in grace you are having been saved. Done deal. Through faith. And that faith didn't come from you either, for it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The Jews are set aside. Their law is set aside because the law is fulfilled. The heavenly character in Ephesians, the first chapter. That's beautiful. I love to read it from Greek. I won't do that right now. It's beautiful. Pavlos Apostolos Christou Isou. That's what it says in Greek. The Apostle Paul, belonging to Jesus Christ by the Theopneustos, by the spiritual activating force of God to the saints everywhere, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He picked you out, just as He roped you, branded you, and earmarked you. That's what it means there. Before the foundation of the world, yes, we are elected. We are elected according to what God knew that we would do. Man has a sovereignty over his soul. You can go to hell, or you can become a servant and a son of God. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us. He marked us off beforehand, adopting the sons through Christ Jesus to Himself according to the kind intention of His spiritual activating force. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished and just poured all over us in all wisdom and sight. He hath made known to us the mystery, the secrets of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things upon the earth in Him, who also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His own will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ Jesus should be to the praise of His glory. And also ye, after listened to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having been believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with that Spirit, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, an non-revocable down payment, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, does not cease giving thanks to you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is hope, the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance to us saints, those not of the earth. The book of Philippians in the New Testament, the revelation given to us, is the walk of the church. The book of Thessalonians is the hope of the church. For we have hope beyond all of those out in the world. The world believes that when you die, you just go out of existence and there is no future. The Bible tells us of that hope we have. The hope of Adam, the hope of Abraham, the hope of Isaac and Jacob. The hope of Paul. The book of Jude tells us the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all, hapax, once for all, given unto the church. Timothy, Titus, and Philemon tell us of dangers that might be called Gentile idolatry. Hebrews, James, and Peter, a danger from what might be called Jewish apostasy. The book of Hebrews tells us that once you have been enlightened, Jewish boys and girls, what have you got to go back to if you turn back into Judaism? Crucify the Lord Jesus Christ again unto yourself through those sacrifices, through those festivals? Ooh, the Mia. No, not. Don't do it. There's nothing there. 1 John tells us the nature of fellowship. The nature of the fellowship of God. 2 John tells us the limits of that fellowship and what it excludes. Number 3 is the extent of fellowship. And then from Peter, and even the book of Jude, we have prophecy. It tells us, even in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, it talks about what every believer will be happen to him at the rapture. That she'll be snatched up and taken away. We have in Christ's ministry the ministry of the Son of God. We have the ministry and the administration of the church in the church age. And then after the church age, we have the ministry and the administration of Satan upon this earth. The ministry of the Antichrist. Christ is the truth. The Antichrist is a liar. Then at the end of that time, we have the second advent of Christ. The second coming of Christ. The first time, Christ came in a manger. There in Bethlehem, He came into a manger. Just a manger. Just a cow trough, a horse trough, a donkey trough. The second time He comes, He's going to come upon His throne in glory. The times of the Gentiles shall close at the end of the tribulation. And then we'll go on from there in our next message. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out that it might glorify You and glorify Your Son, and that I pray that I preach the gospel that even the young could understand. Father, please forgive me where I fail You. I pray for all the students and all the listeners out there. I pray that I thank You for each and every one of them. I pray that these messages will be a blessing to them and that build them up in the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. In Jesus' name we pray.